Winning a defense contract requires not just a great solution and early positioning, but also a well-crafted tender submission. This week's lesson guides you through the journey from a solid bid strategy developed in week 3 to delivering a high-quality tender submission.
Exactly, Darian. In the defense industry, proposal development must be meticulous and aligned with formal requirements and best practices. In this lesson, we'll break down the bid process into clear phases, each with specific tasks and outputs, ensuring nothing is overlooked in your submission.
But first, a quick word about compliance. Defense follows a strict set of processes to ensure consistency and rigor in tendering. At the top, you have the Commonwealth Procurement Rules, or CPRs, as they like to call them. It's basically the framework that keeps the whole process fair, ethical, and transparent. Below that, you have the Defense Procurement Policy Manual, DPPM. And at the working level, there are standard templates for tendering and contracting, which are collectively known as the Defense Facilities Suite. Every tender pack has a set of criteria that must be met. And trust me, if you're not compliant, you're out before they even read your price or solution. I learned that the hard way early in my career. I had this project, thought we nailed it, but nope. A tiny clause about submitting references in the wrong format. Bam, disqualified. It still stings, you know?
That's rough, but honestly, it happens more often than people think. That's why a compliance matrix is such a brilliant tool. It's a bit tedious to set up initially, but it pays off tenfold. You're mapping every tender requirement to your response, so you can see at a glance, have we covered this? Are we compliant?
Oh, for sure. It's like your safety net, keeping you from falling into those tender traps. And let's be honest, defense loves their documents, templates, and references. If they ask for a volume labeled, I don't know, volume 2, technical proposal, you better label it exactly like that, or, well, goodbye tender.
Absolutely. And the beauty of a compliance matrix is that it doesn't just help you track what you've done, it also makes reviews easier. Reviewers can quickly see where you've responded to specific requirements and ensure nothing gets missed in the final submission.
Yeah, and honestly, the reviewers probably love it. I mean, if you make their job easier, you're already scoring points in their books. The trick is balancing detail with clarity. Like, avoid shoving in thousands of pages that say nothing. You know? Keep it concise but thorough.
Exactly. Concise and structured. That's also where understanding the evaluation criteria comes into play. Each request for tender outlines how the tender will be scored. Think technical merit, risk management, and past performance. Aligning your compliance matrix with those criteria sets you up to hit the right notes.
Right, because hitting those notes means your tender sings, right? Okay, bad joke. But seriously, knowing what defense is looking for saves so much guesswork. And I mean, I still laugh about that disqualification, but it taught me the value of being thorough, painfully thorough.
And that lesson is golden. So by the time you've mapped your requirements, tracked compliance, and understood their expectations, you've got a strong foundation. Compliant tenders don't win on compliance alone, but without it, you're not even at the starting line.
So, with your compliance matrix in place, you've got a strong foundation. But that's just the beginning. Now comes the part where you prove you've got not only the structure, but also the right team and experience to deliver. Defense is laser focused on this. They want to see who's on the job and if they've successfully delivered similar projects before. This is where CVs and past project examples carry real weight.
Absolutely. And you can't just copy-paste your team's generic resumes into the tender and call it a day. That's a rookie mistake. You've got to tailor each CV to match the requirements. For example, if the tender calls for someone with experience in defense estate upgrades, then you emphasize that project experience in their resume, highlight it up front.
And keep it consistent too. I once saw a team submit a pile of CVs, but everyone used totally different formats. It was all over the place. It looked messy, and trust me, first impressions count. Templates are your best friend here.
Exactly. A clean, uniform format not only looks professional, but it also helps evaluators navigate through them quickly and include certifications or security clearances. Defense loves seeing those tangible qualifications because they reduce project risk. It's reassurance that your team ticks all their boxes.
True, but it's more than just ticking boxes, right? It's about making it clear why your people are the right fit. Like, don't just say, John Smith has worked on big projects. Say something like, John led a $30 million defense upgrade ahead of schedule with zero safety incidents. That grabs attention.
And on the topic of grabbing attention, those project examples, they have to show real success stories. Pick ones that match the tender scope and scale. If the tender's about building secure facilities, your examples better include secure facilities. And don't just list facts, tell the story. What challenges did you face? How did you overcome them? What were the results?
Yeah, it's kind of like a brag sheet, but for projects. You're showing off what you've done, but in a way that aligns with what defense cares about. And that's where the magic of the, The SIR matrix.
Yes. The skills, experience, and resources matrix. It's like your secret weapon for alignment. You map the tender's evaluation criteria directly to your team and projects. For example, if they want experience with $10 million defense projects, you point straight to Project Falcon or whatever matches. It leaves no doubt that you've got what it takes.
I love that. It's like a cheat sheet for evaluators. You're making it easy for them to give you those high scores. Plus, it forces you to check for gaps. If your matrix shows you don't have, say, NV2 clearance for your site lead, well, that's a problem. Better to figure that out early.
Exactly. And defense evaluators appreciate clarity. They're looking for reasons to say, yes, these guys can do it. By aligning people, projects, and criteria so tightly, you leave no room for doubt. But remember, it has to be honest. Don't oversell or add fluff. You're setting expectations you'll be held to if you win.
Oh, totally. You want to shine without overpromising. And you're right about gaps. If something's missing, address it. Bring in extra resources or explain your mitigation plan. But yeah, get those CVs polished, pick your best project wins, and nail that SER matrix. It makes all the difference.
And the payoff is huge. A strong submission with well-aligned resources shows you've thought this through. So by compiling your team's credentials and experience strategically, you're giving them confidence in both your capability and your reliability.
All right. So you've got your compliance nailed, your team's credentials aligned, and that SER matrix working in your favor. Now comes the next challenge, pricing strategy. This is where things can get tricky and exciting. Slapping a dollar figure on your offer isn't as simple as just crunching numbers, especially not in defense tenders.
Exactly. Pricing in this context has to strike a balance, and it's not just about being competitive, but about demonstrating value for money. And that means looking at the big picture. You've got to ask yourself, does this price reflect what we're promising? Does it align with the evaluation criteria? And do we show our understanding of the scope?
Yeah, and let's be clear. Defense evaluators aren't fooled by numbers that look too good to be true. You can't just undercut the competition and hope they'll pick you. If your price doesn't match your solution, you're waving a big red flag. I learned that when I worked on a bid that was too low. We got grilled in post-tender clarifications. Not fun.
That's a common mistake. A realistic, detailed cost breakdown is key. Think about direct costs like labor, materials, subcontractors, all those tangible elements. But also factor in things like overheads and contingencies. Defense projects always carry risks, and your pricing has to account for those. Otherwise, it could come back to bite you later.
Oh, absolutely. Contingency saved a project I was on once. We put in an allowance for unexpected site conditions. And guess what? Midway through, we hit contaminated soil. Without that buffer, the whole thing would have sunk into the red. Defense hates surprises. So show them you've thought ahead.
That's a great example. And speaking of thinking ahead, the internal review process is a lifesaver. Before you submit your pricing, you need fresh eyes on it. Someone who wasn't involved in building the numbers, a finance manager or senior exec, should review the cost model. They'll spot any errors or inconsistencies you might have missed.
Right. And it's not just about catching mistakes. It's a chance to align the pricing with your bid strategy. Like, say you're aiming to be the best value option. You want to make sure your price reflects not only being competitive, but also the extra bang you're offering, like reduced project risk or lifecycle savings.
Exactly. And that's where a pricing narrative can come in handy if the RFT allows it. You explain the how and why behind your numbers. For example, if your price for ongoing maintenance is higher, you might justify it by pointing out how you'll achieve better reliability and fewer callouts over the project's life cycle. It all ties back to offering value.
And value doesn't just stop with pricing. It continues into integrating your proposal, pulling everything together into a cohesive, polished package. No matter how great your pricing or team is, if your submission's a formatting mess, it's gonna hurt your chances. I've seen proposals where pages were missing, sections misnumbered. Chaos.
Oh, yes. Proposal integration is like the final quality checkpoint. You check every piece fits together, from the executive summary to the management plans and pricing schedules, formatting, branding, cross-references, it all needs to be aligned. Even little mistakes like a typo in the client's name can stick out for the wrong reasons.
Totally. And one thing that really stands out is consistency. Like if one section says the project ends in June 2026, but another says July, big no-no. Proofreading and having someone stress test your submission, like from a fresh perspective, is crucial.
And let's not forget the final compliance check. Revisit your matrix one last time. Tick every requirement off. Make sure every form is signed, every attachment is included. That compliance safety net we discussed earlier, this is when it works its magic.
Yeah, otherwise you get the dreaded late night panic. Did we include everything? Is the page numbering okay? Trust me. I know that panic well. Preparation really is your best defense. Pun absolutely intended.
It really is. So when you've got your final submission, polished everything in place, and you're confident in both your price and proposal, you're not just submitting a document. You're giving defense confidence in you as a partner.
And speaking of confidence, let's explore how strategic pricing has shaped outcomes for defense projects. Some lessons learned coming up. All right, folks. We've covered a lot about strategic pricing and proposal integration, and to help solidify those lessons, we've got a quick quiz up on the lesson webpage. Give it a shot. It's a great way to test what you've picked up.
And don't forget this week's hands-on exercise. Reviewing one of your company's past defense tenders is such a crucial step. It helps you connect the theory to real-world application, plus you can bounce ideas with peers in the forum. Those discussions can really help you improve future submissions.
Exactly. And hey, if you're enjoying the course, share it around. The more people we've got diving into this, the more we can all learn from each other. Plus, you know, it makes you look good for recommending something this valuable. Win-win.
Oh, and one last thing. Don't be shy about feedback. Hit reply to the email and let us know what's working for you or what could be improved. That input goes a long way in shaping future lessons.
Absolutely. We're all about making this as useful and practical as possible. So take the quiz, tackle the exercise, chat in the forums, and share your thoughts. It's all about building a stronger defense community, right?
Exactly. And on that note, we'll wrap things up for today. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay tuned, stay consistent, and as always, keep refining those tenders.
Right. Go out there and win some bids. Take care, and we'll catch you next time.